Hello all, welcome to the Lunar Sea Spire Cartoon Fan Podcast. This is episode 497, and today we'll be talking about Meeting of the Mounds from Summer Camp Island. I'm GC13.
And I'm David.
Ooh, this episode tells us a lot. We learn not only that, summer camp is a little longer than one would expect summer camp to be, but we also learn exactly how long we have had 129 days of adventure thus far.
Yeah, this episode answers the long-running question, hey, wouldn't the parents eventually find out?
Not if Susie does her job.
Yes, we also learn, yes, Susie just somehow, between all the other things she does, has just been casually, as she puts it, using the dish soap to its fullest extent, and diluting and diluting time somehow, because she's just all-powerful. Apparently, she can also turn off magic.
Well, remember, this is Summer Camp Island, a Susie McAllister experience, as the letter she sent out puts it.
She really manages to schmooze parents in that letter. She clearly knows how to write for the parents of children.
It's so sickening and saccharine. I cannot believe she could bring herself to write this. I'm sure Alice had to write this for her.
It seems outsourced, and, you know, she lists all of her titles in the camp, and the last one is friend. It seems suspicious.
Yeah, that's very much not a Susie McAllister experience there. But I loved the letter, because it clearly says, we are going to do this before the children leave, so this is why they will be tired when you get them. So, Oscar's parents were just busybodies inviting themselves over.
Yeah, I love that Susie thought about the whole experience ahead of time, right? Like, that the parents would be promised that you get a week's worth of summer camp and will return them tired to you. That's adorable. But of course, yes, Oscar's parents, you know, are charmed by his very existence, as Susie notes. Like, it doesn't take much from Oscar. And, you know, even if he's just learning how to juggle two pins, and maybe a third one will be on the way, but...
Not quite up on the two pins yet. He'll get there. He'll get there.
They're so sweet, though, but you definitely see how Oscar is the child of his parents. I will say, as far as Susie trying to hide magic from them, from the moment they arrived on the beach, my thought was, can't you see the giant floating pink glowing diamond from the beach? I'm pretty sure you can see the mountain with the diamond on top of it in every shot. I would have questions.
Come to think of it, it's probably visible from the ferry. Like, it's probably the first thing you see on the island.
It's the highest
Because
peak.
Of the way horizons work.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know how that was ever going to be feasible.
I mean, it's a one of nature's mysteries.
Right. Well, it's not like they have great vision anyway, or at least Oscar's dad doesn't, because... He does not know the difference between a seagull and an osprey.
Well, seagull, yeah, seagulls and ospreys, not the most. Speaking of that, I do like how they foreshadow the osprey that he sees, where you see it just before Mildred throws her pitch at Susie, and there's an osprey right there. So it's like, there really is an osprey about.
Yeah. Man, that baseball game, I love that cartoons return to baseball as a classic source of jokes. You know, Steven Universe famously framed what could have otherwise been an extremely stressful episode as a hilarious one. The same kind of hijinks happen here. I love that neither team can score against each other. It's not even a problem of magic. They just all stink at baseball.
Yeah, think of it like in basketball. You'll notice that in college games, the scores are much lower than in NBA games, because I guess that means that the better you get, the easier scoring becomes. It's harder to defend against a skilled player, even if you're skilled yourself. And we're getting the opposite problem here. It's really hard to attack if you're a lousy player, even if they're lousy themselves.
It does lead to the perfect joke, which is that this game can never end, and everyone is already...
We'll go into extra innings! Sue is so stoked for this. How could... Only Oscar's parents could be excited by more of that.
Yeah, like, the fact that that has zero sarcasm in it. This is a very boring game to watch. They're not even watching a lot of it, to be fair, because that video camera keeps pointing off to that supposed Osprey.
They're very important seagulls.
Yes. And everyone can barely, I mean, they're really not holding in magic at all. I love it.
I do not understand. Like, this is the bottom of the ninth, and the witches are still like, oh, here, let me do some magic stuff. Like, they must have been doing this the whole game. No wonder Susie is so exhausted.
And to be fair, the moment that something explicitly magical happens, when Susie sees it happen, she just, you know, runs to the floating child and grabs them and pulls them down. When everyone else notices the bats, they go wild and start shooting their wands everywhere. So there is only one person who has any ounce of rational decision-making left in them.
Yeah, like, I know it's supposed to be, oh, Susie's a hypocrite because she did it too, but at least she did it because, oh no, my sister was going to be hurt. All these other people, like, man, they're saying I'm bad at baseball? Well, joke's on them, because I have magic.
Exactly.
So, I think Susie's crime was much more forgivable than all of the other witches, and of course Emma just wants to watch the world burn.
Yep. Also, yeah, you gotta give Susie extra credit. She also, you think she might be about to use magic? No, she's just rubbing her hands in the dirt because she thinks that'll give her an advantage.
Yeah, here, let me do this thing that I've seen people do.
Exactly. You know, she's pulling on everything she has from the non-magical world to try to hit that damn ball. So, good on her.
poor Susie. Unfortunately, Mildred gave her as many tries as she needed to let the bat slip out of her hands, and after wiping all the sweat off with the dirt. A shame.
Okay, so elephant in the room. It's not Oscar. It's not his parents. Why can Susie turn off magic?
Because this is Summer Camp Island, a Susie McAllister experience. We covered this already, David.
No. That is not a satisfying answer. We have to analyze this frame by frame. When she turns off magic, she looks a little unsure of it, okay? Like, maybe she didn't even know that she could do that. She is sweating it. She looks very nervous when it happens. And, yeah, I don't know. What? Why? It's already crazy enough that this episode reveals that she can dilate time casually. But this is a very weird twist. It's more of a weird twist than last episode where the... where our rascals just got pushed in the ocean and their eating magic really had no other consequence. I mean, these are some wild stretches they're doing here at the end of the inning.
Yeah, I didn't notice just how, like, shell-shocked she was when she had to do that either.
Yeah, like, it feels like another thing she knew she could always do, but maybe she wasn't quite sure, and I mean, clearly she didn't really know that it could be reactivated either. I don't really know why when she brings Mildred back up to the top of the mountain to try to turn it back on, did she think Mildred was an important part of the process? She has Mildred touch the diamond and say, you know, let me know if it's reactivated.
That's definitely busy work. That's giving Mildred something to do. I think she wanted to make good on that promise she made to her over by the unicorn stable, where, you know, as soon as magic is safe, you know, I want to get you yours back. And, you know, Mildred clearly wants it back, but she's trying to act like it's no big deal, that she's getting bumped down the priority list, and I think Susie sensed that.
Right. So that's nice. Mildred is also trying to be so nice. I guess the biggest thing that this does is it really gives you the feeling of that Susie is just this crazy, powerful 15-year-old who really does not have control of the situation.
Well, she's been 15 years old for way longer than your normal person gets to live, so she's learned a trick or two in her magical years.
Yeah, and yet, yeah, she, I don't know, does this consequence feel earned? Does this feel part of her journey? Like, why must she suffer having turned off of all of magic? I mean, what is more depressing than seeing a faceless pajamas at the end, and Oscar's, you know, realization.
Oscar so comfortable stripping down to his underpants in front of Hedgehog and sprinting across the island when Pajamas is wounded or not magical anymore. It's heartbreaking.
It's really sad. Also, the scenes they show, you know, we see the lifeless flowers, the lifeless marshmallows, but then also the empty house of monsters. Like, monsters are fully magical beings. They just straight up don't exist. This is brutal. This is not cool.
Yep. It's like the Monster Babies episode. These babies are not organic.
Yeah. Also, their sink is still running and leaking into the kitchen. That's just dark, man. Why'd they have to do that to us? Why?
I'm so glad I didn't notice that while I was watching the episode. You know how I felt about Simon's shower back in Fiona and Cake?
This is definitely about as dark as Summer Camp Island can manage to be. I mean,
oh, it can get darker. Don't you worry.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because if there's one thing Summer Camp Island longs to teach us, okay, there are two things, actually. One, cliffhangers. They're fun. And two, is it can always get darker.
But in such a specific way. I mean, I really wonder how the writers kind of addressed this episode and this ending arc, because there's so much to balance with what Summer Camp Island is and does. And I don't know, the final shot of seeing, you know, Susie and Oscar and Chuck, they're all staring out like at the looming superstorm with the diamond, you know, dead and pointing over them. That is the most, I feel like this is the height of drama. Like, there's certainly, well, the next episodes are going to be more the height of drama, I guess, but
awfully dramatic themselves.
But, you know, it makes sense. It's the finale. But yeah, it's just, wow.
It's so dramatic. It's almost enough to make you forget that, hey, isn't all magic supposed to be gone? Where's this tornado coming from? But I guess we're not supposed to know it's the tornado. Well, Susie seems to know it's her tornado, so she's not weirded out that her tornado is still around, even though there's no more magic.
Yeah, what does that? Or should we think hard about that? Like, is that okay? That
there's clearly something going on. They very intentionally show that other magical things, one even specifically related to Susie's baggage, survived. So if we wanted to go digging for the deep lore, we would have to assume Susie's trauma is somehow tied to what she did there.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, Susie's baggage over Mildred is not the only regret of hers that survived.
Yeah. Yeah, I want such a deep, like, retro analysis, digging through again and kind of understanding the build towards this. It's it's befuddling.
It's enough to make you cry that Summer Camp Island has 11 minute episodes. Like, if this were a 44 minute series like Babylon 5 or any Star Trek series, we would get some more information, some more lore to chew on. But with 11 minutes, you gotta cut it down to the bone.
See, I'm okay with the 11-minute format, though, but I think, like, you know, Adventure Time was the big success of that because it got freaking 10 seasons. They had all the room they ever needed. And then, you know, Steven Universe cut too short. Summer Camp Island has a good number of seasons, and it doesn't feel cut short, but there is a little bit, like, of the vibe that maybe there could have been one more season of breathing room or something, because especially in season 6 it feels like a lot is coming together quickly and the highest rate of retcon.
Oh yeah, season 6 is for all the ADD people who are like, if it's not story arc, I don't even want to know.
Right, we go hard on story arc, which is new. There had been some arcs already in season 5, yeah. And maybe even season 4, but yeah, this is pure story arc, pure connectivity, and we are racing through all the final questions. So, you know, it's a fun ride, but it is a bewildering ride. And the answer is, of course, don't think too hard about it. But it's not so much the lore that I want answered. It's really like the reasons why some things happen. Like, it's just interesting that you know, for instance, the tornado could have just destroyed the diamond anyway, which I'm kind of alluding to what happens in the future, so sorry. But so it's interesting that she also chooses to turn it off. I mean, obviously that means that there's just no magical involvement in the final confrontation here. And of course we get the next episode of them all hiding out in the library, but it's just a choice I want to understand more.
Like from a Doylist perspective?
Yes.
Again, a commentary tracks would be so helpful.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I would pay the biggest monies to have the commentary on this. But hey, who doesn't love a little sublimity? Sublimeness?
Yeah, you gotta love it when they bust out the sublime aspects on us. But as dark as they get, they remember that there must be levity at the end. And so I love that after the credits, the quote that they choose to pull for this episode is, "She hit it a country mile," with their like terrible, completely unconvincing finale to the baseball game that Doug and Sue just buy completely.
Oh my gosh. Well, especially Oscar's dad's line, like, "I didn't remember that way at all." Oh my gosh, yeah, that montage was so funny.
You can see them struggling to hold it up. Oh, they did such a terrible job, but it's like, well, that is definitely authentic footage. I guess we don't have to take this to... They're talking about, we're going to take this to the president!
Okay, that line was also perfection.
I could see why Susie freaked out a little there. Because, you know, they did have other methods to stop this. Like, I'm certain she has spells that can pull memories out of people's brains.
If she can turn off magic and dilate time, she could definitely have handled this differently. But...
she panicked.
It's so much funnier to see that kind of, like, childlike realization of fears. Oh my god, if Oscar's parents come, they'll tell the president! It feels, maybe it's just because I've watched some Fairly Odd Parents clips recently, but that feels like the level of Fairly Odd Parents, right? Like, oh, I have magic fairies, and, you know, when Crocker finds out, he'll just send it out to everyone on the internet, and the president, you know, the scale is just... instantly ridiculous. But sure, why not? Maybe Oscar's parents have a direct line to the president. Who knows?
I mean, they are the kind of busybodies who would be big political donors, so they might be able to get somebody to put in a good word.
Right, they make it to the top of the social food chain just through their unstoppable politeness and
Eagerness to get involved in our country's politics. Yeah. They probably don't donate money. They donate time.
Yeah.
Like, if they can be like, "Oh man, you did so great juggling those two bowling pins, Oscar," imagine they would be wonderful yes men for any campaign. They're probably the chief morale officers at the campaign office. "I need to feel good about something. Where are the Peltzers?"
Oh, my bubbler.
Anyway, guys, that's it for us on Meeting of the Mounds. Join us next week. Until then, I'm GC13.
And I'm David. Don't forget to leave us a review anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Later, everybody. And you know what? There was only one mound there. Our opening and closing music is by Mark Soto. For more cartoon-related content, please visit LunarCeasefire.com.